You got to roll with the punches. Yeah, you got to go with the flow.
Yeah, you gotta roll with the punches. Hi, everybody, your old friend Mike Houlihan. Welcome back to Hibernian Media. We are in a special place tonight. We're brought to you by James McGing, honorable Jim McGing, personal injury attorney. I'm getting some notes here from our guests. Brought to you by McCann's Irish Oatmeal, personal injury attorney, the honorable Jim McGing. Fox's Pizza, we just had some, and it was dynamite. And Tullamore Dew. We're on WSBC, 1240 a.m. every Saturday night from 7 to 8. And podcasts at hibernianradio.org, usually up by Sunday. We're on Facebook, we're on Twitter, we're everywhere. So we have a very special show tonight because of Fatso Pritzker, okay? He screwed up the whole situation with bars, and I feel so bad for saloon owners and restaurant owners. But he did not stop this show, Fatso. So we had to just find it. We came to our old pal, Johnny Vegas Sheehan, and we're in his basement. We're in his man cave, and he's a former pub owner himself. What was it, Johnny's Southside Tab? What was the name of it?
Old Southside Pub.
On 111th and Western, where McNally's is.
Right.
Yeah. So John is a former Chicago police officer, in line with our police pub tour, where we dedicated to our Irish first responders, because we feel they are the quintessential and modern-day equivalent of our Irish mythological warriors. And so you did, how many years were you on this force?
Six short, long years.
Okay. And then he went on to work for the city, and he's had a great career. And he and I have had many, many adventures. We've been to Ireland together several times.
Oh, yeah, sure. I went on your tour.
Yeah.
2016.
In 17, were you there? Yeah, you were there in 17 too. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
And so we go way back. He's an old pal. We've had many capers together in the billboard business. John's in the billboard business. But anyway, we're so glad you're here.
So am I.
Yeah, in your own house, and we're having a beer in your basement with some great Fox's Pizza. It's just dynamite.
It is good.
By the way, your son Mike is here, and if you're looking for auto insurance or home insurance, check out Mike Sheehan at Country Financial. He's my guy, and he could be yours too. So take us back. Tell us, do you want to tell me about your old pal John Burge, the police officer?
Well, I really didn't know John as a police officer.
But, oh, you didn't?
No. Let me just give you a quick background. I went on the police department in 1973, June.
Yeah.
And I left. I worked, you know, till 1979. January 1st, mm-hmm. And at that time I purchased, my brothers had opened a bar a couple of years before called Sheehan's. It was 19 drinking at the time.
Which brothers?
Skinny.
Oh, really?
My oldest brother, my late brother, Marty.
Oh, yeah.
My brother-in-law, there was four of them. My brother-in-law, Cyril Dunn, the late Cyril.
Oh, sure.
From County Mead.
From Drogheda, wasn't he? His brother was the Bishop of Drogheda.
Right.
Yeah.
And anyways, so they opened it up. They were working other jobs. I ended up taking over for them, and then I was going on with the city, but I'd get laid off in the wintertime. I was a heavy equipment operator when I was in college. I started out as an apprentice and worked, and then called on the police department. And eventually I ended up full-time with the city, and retired from there a few years ago. So that's my career. And in the meantime, I had five children.
Right.
And so at 2003, my wife passed away. And 2004,
The great Roberta. From St. Felicitous Parish.
Yes, yeah. She was.
Yeah.
Roberta
Camp. She's probably an honorary groundsman. Was she?
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
She was one of eight children. Two older sisters, and she was a real good gal. I don't know how
indeed.
She put up with me,
yeah.
but I gave her a run for her money, and Unfortunately, she passed away from cancer at the age of 47. So,
wow.
Had an opportunity. I was working on the side when I was working for the city with United Billboard Company, just part time, and so I kind of knew the billboard business, and was encouraged by the late owner, Eldon Williams, great guy.
Oh yeah.
So I started my own, little billboard business. So
Monarch Outdoor Advertising.
Monarch, which is morphed into, Standby Outdoor Business Billboard.
What's it called?
Standby, one word. Okay. STANDBY.
Yeah, Standby.
It's getting traded on the Merck pretty soon. NASDAQ.
Yeah, gotta go public. Sure.
Yeah. So, anyways, I'm doing I've been doing that for since.
A long time.
A long time now. Yeah. In fact,
ever since I've known you.
Yeah. Hooley and I, we crossed paths when you were with the Brick Council of Illinois. Yeah. And we did some nice deals together.
So. I remember you coming in my office and telling me you want to sell me some billboards. And I said, you just got a new partner.
Yeah.
Just kidding, folks. Well, we had a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Well, talk to us about the cops. I know you've had... Yeah, you had some great partners. Tell us about Burge. How did you know Burge?
Well, actually, I met John Burge. The old Southside Pub was 112th and Western. He lived in the apartment building next to it.
Oh, did he really?
Yeah. And I would see him coming in and out. This is like the late 70s. Yeah. And occasionally he would stop in the bar. He was a very quiet guy. They paint him out to be like Adolf Hitler now.
Yeah.
And the crooked media.
Is he still alive?
No, he passed away a couple of years ago.
Okay.
He had he moved to Florida after he got fired. And
they chased him all over the place, I know that.
And, I just say, what's that guy's name, John? And then I find out he was a Vietnam vet.
Yeah.
And he was, at the time, I thought he was maybe 10 years or 15 years older than me. He was only maybe 5 years older, and he was in his... probably early to mid-30s when he became the commander of over at Area 2 Homicide.
Wow.
And he was a worker and very low-key guy, just, hi, how you doing? And the only time I ever talked to him, I would never even know he was a police officer. He would come in and have a quiet drink and leave.
Yeah.
And it was when officers Fahey and O'Brien got killed.
Oh yeah.
In February of 1982.
Executed. Yeah.
By the Wilson brothers.
Yeah.
Who that was on a Friday. They were coming to refresh people's memory coming from a wake of Officer Doyle, and they were, I think, 82nd and like Morgan, Racine, that area, and it was about noon on a Friday. It was, I think, early February, and there were several witnesses. They pulled the car over, and unbeknownst to them, the Wilson brothers were on their way over to St. Bernard's Hospital.
Oh, yeah,
around
Jackson
64th and Harvard to break their friend out who had shot and killed Officer Doyle.
Oh, wow.
And they had hospital garb, and they were going to walk in and try to spring him from there. So Faye and O'Brien got out. I just kind of vaguely know the circumstances, and they were kind of searching the car, and Andrew Wilson, who was the shooter, grabbed one of the officers' gun and executed one of the officers, and then came back and, according to the police report, put the gun in the officer's mouth and said, "Beg you, white MF-er."
Oh, wow.
And then executed him. And so there was a huge manhunt. Now it comes Sunday night, and I'm watching the news on Sunday, and I see Jackie Wilson, who's still alive. Andrew subsequently died in jail. And he's bandaged. He's coming in. They said, well, they got they arrested two Wilson brothers. And Jackie Wilson, was shown on the news with a bandage on his head. And so here's how Burge comes into the story. It's about 1 o'clock in the morning on a Sunday night, February, you know.
And you're working the bar.
I'm closing up the bar, and a bunch of cars pulled up. And I knew a lot of these guys. There was about 8 of them from, they'd been working the whole weekend.
Yeah.
And in comes John Burge and those guys, the rest of the homicide detectives. And he, you know, they're having, I said, we're going to set them up with a drink, and they're all hyped up. And he said, hey, what was on the news? And I said, well, they showed one of the Wilson brothers coming in. His head was bandaged up, and he turned and said, what the hell was wrong with that guy on the wagon? He said, didn't he know this is like a heater case?
Yeah.
And they mentioned the guy's name, And I know that I knew the guy. I'm not going to mention his name because he died. I knew him a little bit, mm-hmm. and he's dead now, so we'll just let that lie. But he had worked with one of the officers, Faye O'Brien, pulled into the side of the road and went back and whacked him and Jackie Wilson in the head.
Yeah.
And when he got to Area 2, they saw that he was bleeding. They took him over. I think they stitched him up or bandaged him, but it wasn't really that bad. And Burge is saying, what the hell's he doing? Mm. Now, about 3 years ago, I see they're talking about Jackie Wilson's trial.
Oh, and he claims Burge did it.
It's 35 years late. Now, he didn't claim it. Huh? Channel 7.
Oh, wow.
Pulls this video, ABC, and
same video
shows Jackie Wilson walking in and said, this is when John Burge beat Jackie Wilson, the confession out of him. And I'm like, no, I know the real story.
Yeah.
John had just died about that time. So anyways, that's really about all I knew about John. I would see him, just say hi to him. I'd never worked with him, and he had a great reputation. That was besmirched and tried twice, acquitted twice, and subsequently the feds went after him because he became the poster boy for the Innocence Project. The now, I would say, soiled Innocence Project.
Oh, absolutely.
With the
whole thing was a scam.
Yeah. It was all these.
David Protas.
David Protas was all, as you know,
former Tribune guy. Yeah.
He was wired into. Well, he was front for
Northwestern.
He was the head of the Innocence Project, yeah. Northwestern University, and you know, other things happened since then. Where Northwestern
fired him.
He should have been in jail. So.
Yeah.
Anyways, that was you know, the only thing I have to say. God rest John Burge. He was, you know, unjustly vilified, and even these young coppers say, oh yeah, well, John Burge used to do this, and then I said, how do you know?
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
And I knew a lot of these guys, and one of the things that surprised me, people asked me, you know, when I was a cop, I never saw anybody getting whacked around and tortured for a confession. Mm-hmm. What surprised me was the lack of loyalty with these guys.
With the crooks, you mean?
The crooks.
Oh,
Who were you with? You had. If they got beat, they got to beat them to shut them up.
Yeah.
Because they're, oh, yeah, well, you want to know who else was with me? You know, so. So I never saw anybody, like I said, and I witnessed a lot of, people brought in interrogations murder, robbery, and usually they, if there's a show on, it's called The First 48.
Oh, that's a great show. My favorite show.
And it's
on A&E.
An A&E, and it shows you, like, these guys come in. If there's two guys, the first guy blames it on the second guy.
Yeah,
and
he always. They always,
you know,
give it
up.
You know,
he point the finger. And
yeah.
So, anyways, that's about it. But, I worked. I came out of the police academy and went over the 4th District.
How old were you when you came on the job?
23.
Oh, wow.
And I was thinking of going to law school, but, that didn't happen.
That's
so.
A scary thought, you as an attorney.
Oh, I know. I had some really good experience. I worked with some great people.
Well, we know one guy that we both know who's an old friend of mine that I played football with at Carmel, but you have a story about that as well. It's about Jeff Fort, the head of the Blackstone Rangers, which later became the El Rucans.
Yeah.
And actually, the antecedent to that story was one day on this friend of ours was on his way to Mount Carmel, and he got jumped on the IC tracks.
Mm-hmm.
And he remembered who did it. And then years later, this guy, Jeff Fort, was the head of the El Rucans. And you take it from there, Johnny.
Well, he had just, Jeff, I had never saw him face to face, but he was pretty notorious.
Yeah.
And it was called, they were the Blackstone Rangers, and they morphed into the El Rucans.
Yeah.
And Jeff.
Now, they were all over the neighborhood of Mount Carmel when I grew up.
Oh, yeah.
Up. Yeah.
Yeah. And that was, you know.
Bad people, gangbangers, yeah.
Yeah. So Jeff.
And the El Rucans worked a scam where they all of a sudden they were like socially conscious and
they said
feeding
they were,
people and getting grants and it was like.
Oh, you know, that's how they went to jail. They, yeah. Chuck Percy came in. And,
oh, yeah.
You know, he was a Republican senator, but
Charles Percy.
Looking to, you know, expand his voting base. And they had an organization down in Woodlawn where they had embezzled money. I think it was some type of a program. And Jeff and some of his colleagues.
They turned it into a church.
Yeah. Well, they went to jail. And,
yeah.
And this was in the late 60s, early 70s. So he had gotten out. And one night we did encounter him. I knew he was out. And they called him Prince at that time.
Yeah.
And this fellow that you mentioned, he was telling me that, yeah, they grabbed me and another guy that I knew later became a Chicago cop.
Yeah,
Mount Carmel guy.
Frank, yeah, yeah.
And they got him up on the IC tracks, about 10 guys, and they, you know, beat him up or something. So he had remembered, this is like 15 years later. And
there were students at Carmel. Yeah.
We pulled this car over and we said, get the shotgun out. And I got it out. And this Mount Carmel alumni, who will remain unnamed, said, let's go, Jeff. And he took his gun belt off and proceeded to beat the shit out of Jeff. I beat the hell out of Jeff.
Okay. Yeah.
And
I remember you telling me, I saw our friend bitch slap Jeff Fort. And I said, what were you doing? And you said, pointing a shotgun at his head.
No, I had he had two huge henchmen. I said, don't move. This is a fair fight.
Yeah.
But later on, Jeff, when he was in jail, and this, he wanted revenge on this.
Our pal? Yeah.
Your pal. And they got allegedly from Gaddafi, they got a rocket launcher.
Oh, I think I remember this.
And it was coming in from Gary, Indiana. They had one of the young gang members driving it to the headquarters of the El Rucans, which is down around 41st and King Drive in that area, or 39th. And it was on at Drexel Boulevard.
Yeah.
So that was their headquarters then. This was in the 80s. And late 80s, because Jeff was put in jail by the Gang Crimes Unit of Chicago Police Department and part of the government task force. So he sent a message. They called
our buddy?
Both of them.
Oh, okay.
The two Carmel guys.
Yeah.
You know,
both Irish. Well, no, one was Irish and one was Polish. Yeah, yeah.
To test out the rocket launcher on them.
Well, oh, wow.
The ATF had put some type of tracker in the rocket launcher and disabled it.
Ah.
So one of the couriers was driving on the Dan Ryan and he got pulled over by a state police.
No kidding.
Searched a car and found
it's got a rocket launcher?
Found a rocket launcher in the car. So anyways, they let it go through and
followed him.
Followed him, but they hit it on tape and that was part of Jeff's trial, I believe. So anyways, I only encountered him for a short time at about 3 o'clock in the morning. It was like at 65th in Dorchester on the east side of the railroad tracks and right near Mount Carmel. So but I worked in that district. I started out in the 4th district, and I had some great training officers over there.
Fields FTOs, yeah.
Well,
Fields.
They weren't. They just put you with somebody for about a month.
Yeah.
It was funny. I was just voting, and I saw one of my old training officers, Ray Macy. It was a great guy, right? Jewish guy from.
Is he a judge?
Yeah. No. What was he? No, he's a retired Chicago cop.
You told me about this. He was voting.
We sat in line and talked, and I recalled Ray. He was very articulate and elegant guy.
Yeah.
He immaculately dressed, and he was always looking at me. My shoes weren't shined. But it was good to catch up with him. He was a good guy. And one of the other guys I worked with for a couple months, I was only in the South Chicago district for about 6 months, and I did so well, they sent me to the 3rd district. And so, anyways.
Where's the 3rd district?
75th and the Cottage.
Oh, yeah, it's even worse.
Well, Mount Carmel is. Okay. And then it was.
Englewood, yeah.
No, it was, Grand Cross. It's Grand Cross and Woodlawn.
Yeah.
Every year we had over 100 murders in our district, in 25 districts. It was, in 1974, there was, I think, 1,100 murders in the city of Chicago. So it was pretty fast district, and I learned a lot. But when I was working in South Chicago, I was working with an Irish guy up from County Mayo.
Oh, no kidding.
Tommy McHale.
Yeah.
The late Tommy McHale, real good guy.
Yeah.
He had a pretty short fuse, but he had a great sense of humor. So I'm working with him for about 2 days, and he knew my uncles and some other who were.
And your dad was a cop.
My dad was a Chicago police officer. Yeah. And on my mom's side of the family, my grandfather, Mike Ryan, was a lieutenant. He was the head of the detail at the old Comiskey Park back in the 20s and 30s.
Yeah.
And my mother had two brothers, Marty Ryan and Jimmy Ryan. They were kind of wild men, but cops.
Yeah.
And my uncle Jack Wright was a cop. So
I came
from a pretty good cop family. So.
Yeah, yeah.
But Tommy, we pulled this African-American lady over at like 79th and Stoney. She ran the red light. So I'm, 23-year-old smartass. So I walk up. And he said, I'll handle this. And he had a thick mayo brogue. He says, you went through the red light. Give me your license and bond card. And she rolls away. She says, she looks at him and says, I can't understand you. Can you speak English? And Tommy, so he says it again, license and bond card. He's so she looks at me, young man, this man don't speak any English. And he said, I speak the Queen's English. She said, I'll give you my license and bond card. And I said, you know what? You have a nice day.
You let her go.
Tommy, she pulled out. Tommy was standing there looking at me.
he wanted to kill her.
He said, what the? And he just started laughing.
Oh, that's great.
But Tommy was a good guy.
What was his last name?
McHale.
Tommy McHale from Mayo.
County Mayo.
God bless him.
We were over in
Mayo,
South Chicago.
God help us.
Yeah. Chicago, he worked beat 412. And, he worked security at the Sears store at 79th and Kenwood. And that was his beat.
Yeah.
He'd be falling asleep at night. And he let me drive. I remember it was snowing out, and I started doing donuts, and he woke up, what the hell are you doing? So,
that's great.
Yeah, a lot of laughs. So. It was time to move on from the police department. I was born about 50 years too late, and they started the affirmative action, and... I did take a Spanish class for 8 years, for 8 weeks with Officer Jim Fennessy, the late Jim Fennessy.
Oh, yeah, Jimmy Fennessy, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So I took, a couple years in college for Spanish. So.
Now, Jack Wright is your uncle or your cousin?
My cousin is Jack. His dad was Jack Wright.
Oh, okay. Because we had Jack on the Skinny and Hooley show for years. What's wrong with Wright?
Yeah. That's right.
Also, he was like Officer Friendly for years, wasn't he?
Yeah. And it was secretary over in the 5th District in Kensington at 115th at the time, right near, State Street. And so, but anyways, it was time to move on. So I moved on from the police department. I had a lot of good memories.
Yeah. And a lot of good pals from the, make friends there.
Yeah.
They're friends for life.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, let me ask you. What do you make, and this is one of the reasons we're doing the police pub tour, particularly this summer, with this whole Antifa and BLM and defund the police. What's your take on that?
It's terrible.
Yeah.
I was really fortunate when I was on the police department, and, it's kind of the same thing. You get these younger guys, and they want to do a good job, and they're coming in. Driving in 90 miles an hour, and it's probably the same now. The white shirt supervisors, the street sergeants, they would say, "Slow down, kid," and take it easy. And I'm sure that's still going on. But I had some terrific bosses on the police department. A lot of them were combat World War II veterans.
Oh yeah,
and they would tell you the same thing, and they really they knew the street, and what they say, hey. Don't get in an accident. I don't want to do the paperwork. Get here as fast as you can, but be safe. You got to go home at night,
Yeah.
He goes, this crime's going to be out here in 50 years from now.
Yeah.
And it is.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. Yeah.
I missed a lot of the riots in the late 60s, and, we did riot training over at an armory when I was in the police academy. I had the helmet and the shield and all that,
yeah.
But the only time I remember, twice, I remember going, sitting in an armory over near, they had a Puerto Rican parade over in Humboldt Park, and there was a couple guys who were shot and killed from a Chicago police officer.
Oh, two police officers were killed? Yeah.
No, two young Puerto Rican lads.
Okay, yeah.
That were had a knife to somebody's throat.
Oh, wow.
And unfortunately, they were told to drop the knife. And then I think one of them, I don't know the whole circumstances, but there was a shooting over there. So the next year, they anticipated a big riot. And we just sat there, as backup for about 8 hours.
Yeah.
And then the Nazi Party of Illinois.
Oh, I remember that. That was in Marquette Park. Yeah.
Well, this is after Marquette Park. They were marching down around the Picasso statue, and there must have been 1,000 cops down there protecting like three of these idiot Nazi guys,
yeah.
And a bunch of older Jewish people coming down, a line on the other side. Not a lot, maybe 50 of them, that maybe had been in concentration camps.
Sure.
But these guys were like, they were losers,
And, yeah.
And we were just there, and nothing really happened. But I didn't really get into the riots too much. But I did see what was going on this summer, and the police officers being told to stand down.
Yeah.
Getting, everything in the world thrown at him.
Yeah.
And,
at the Columbus statue. That was awful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And our great mayor, she hates the police.
Yeah.
And then you've got, I think a lot of there's a lot more politics on the police department now than
sure.
when I was on there, at least when I was on the guys that were wearing the white shirts had, been through what you were going through now. They were, combat veterans, if not in the military, then at least they worked the streets. They were real street savvy police officers, and a young guy that you're kind of aggressive and stuff, you need somebody to tell you, what when to do it and when not to do it. But I worked for a captain, Joe Mullen, the late Joe Mullen, who was the best boss I've ever had anywhere. And I think you had one of my old cronies on, Eddie May. He was on our watch.
Yeah, yeah.
Our watch made, we had the most Part 1 arrests, which is, Part 1 is, murder, rape, robbery, burglaries.
Yeah.
And we had a lot of guys transfer in to work for, you know, in an undesirable district just to work for Joe.
Oh, Mullen. Yeah.
And unfortunately, there was a little bit of jealousy, I think, with Joe by the other upper echelon of the police department because he was so well-liked. He was just a great guy, real smart, and a good guy, backed you up, and we had some, you know, great other supervisors on our watch. So we led, I think, 2 or 3 years in a row, we led the city in Part 1 arrest and also CR numbers, which is when, you know, complaint numbers.
Yeah. But,
you know, 99% of that was just somebody, you know, trying to get over or maybe get some money in a lawsuit, which...
Oh, that's why they want the CR number, yeah.
Yeah. And, in fact, I was on the front page of the Daily Defender.
With, you were?
Yeah. With the police officer we mentioned earlier.
Oh, really? Yeah.
That we locked up at 70th and Stony Island. We pulled a guy over, and he was fidgeting, sticking. He comes out. I remember he had a sport coat on, but and you could see a shoulder holster under.
Oh.
Him. And it was about 95 degrees, and it was like 11:30. We just started our shift, and he's screaming, you know, "Hey, they're beating me," and you know, so we found a gun, locked him up, and he came in and got a hold. His wife came in to bail him out, and he didn't, whatever it was, they inventoried his watch and his ring and his money, and he signed the inventory slip. Well, you know, the great investigator writer for the Daily Defender, it takes a picture of him. Police rob and beat black man, you know. So,
and you know, they put you guys on the front of the Defender.
So it didn't go anywhere. You know, I didn't really read the Defender, but one of my colleagues, you know, African American police officer, came in and said, "Hey, you guys made the Defender." So I was really perturbed. And
I don't blame you. You could have sued them.
At the time, I wanted to.
Yeah.
And at the time, there was about four or five different, there was no, you know, like FOP is all the coppers now.
Yeah.
And there wasn't that. There was like, they had COP and FOP, the Teamsters, you know, there was four or five organizations. So I can't remember which one I was a member of, and they just laughed. What are you going to get if you sue them? I go, well, they won't, you know, I'll stand up to this.
Yeah.
You know, BS, we got, you know. We have the inventory slip, you know, my good name.
Exactly. You know? Yeah.
So, anyways, it didn't go anywhere, but.
It's nice to see that you have that headline here on the wall from the Daily Defender. Just kidding, folks.
Well, I should be talking about people the press seeing as your former writer for the Sun-Times.
Which has really gone to hell, by the way.
Oh, my gosh.
That's terrible. Okay, this is great. We got to wrap it up. Okay. Thank you for your service, Johnny Vegas Sheehan. Always good to see you, and thanks for inviting us into your basement for Hibernian Radio.
Well, Joe Biden's supposed to come down here pretty soon.
He's going
to
fall down the stairs.
He's going to show me how to get out of this basement.
We're gonna take a little break here on Hibernian Radio. Thank you, Johnny Sheehan.
You're welcome.
We'll be right back after these messages from our friends.
If you or a loved one is injured, you need someone to represent you. But don't just call a lawyer, call a judge. Former supervising judge James McGing. Jim McGing represents injured people and their families in cases involving personal injury, wrongful death, workers' compensation, and third-party lawsuits. Jim represents first responders, and he formerly worked for the General Counsel of the Illinois Fraternal Order of Police. He was an assistant state's attorney, and he was legal counsel to the Cook County Sheriff. As a judge, he presided over multi-million dollar medical negligence, traffic, premises liability, and construction injury cases. He wrote the Illinois court decisions regarding injured police and fire for on-the-job injuries and during training exercises. So don't just call a lawyer, call a judge. Former Judge Jim McGing of the Miller & McGing Law Firm, 33 years of personal injury and workers' compensation experience. You can get a hold of Jim at 773-467-8000. That's 773-467-8000. Give him a call. He's an old pal. On the Death Walk of Saloons that decorate Western Avenue, only the Cork and Kerry Irish Pub, the soul of Beverly, sits right on a 50-yard line of Chicago's Southside Irish St. Patrick's Day Parade at 106th and Western. Generations of Southside Irish have quenched their thirst in the Cork, snuggling up to memories of family, faith, and fierce loyalty to friends. It's the jewel of this neighborhood where we celebrated weddings, christenings, wakes, and unforgettable victories. Proprietors Bill Guidy and Mike Fitzpatrick, now celebrating 20 years in business, welcome you home for a cold brew, to share a good story, or help you throw one hell of a party. With over 20 beers on tap and a full bar for your pleasure, this is the spot you can sink a root and get your Irish on. Cork has plenty of seating, from our private event rooms to our 300-person beer garden. Our interior space brings you back to the homeland of Ireland with our vintage photos and authentic Irish decor and Chicago memories of the good old days. So say hello to a stranger, make a new friend, fall in love, or just enjoy the company of people you forgot you knew. The Cork and Kerry continues the Southside tradition parents and grandparents brought here from the old country. Come on by the Cork and Kerry and get some. The Cork and Kerry Irish Pub, 10614 Southwestern Avenue, for private parties, just pals hanging out, or intimate cocktail rendezvous. Come on home to the south side of Chicago at the Cork and Kerry.
McCann's Irish Oatmeal. We've been warming the hearts, minds, and souls of the most discriminating oatmeal lovers for over 150 years. From the family farm to your table. Enjoy the whole grain goodness of McCann's Irish Oatmeal today. Available at your local grocery store.
And we are back on Hibernian Radio, having a great time here in Johnny Sheehan's basement. We'll be back at Cork and Kerry next week. And hopefully our guest is the great FOP president, John Kenton Zara. We're going to make him an honorary Irishman that night. Looking forward to that. Also want to remind everybody the Pipes and Drums of the Chicago Police Department have been invited to participate in the Pearl Harbor Memorial in Hawaii in 2021. They're accepting donations to cover expenses. You can go to their website, pdcpd.com, to make a donation. Also, the Emerald Society, of which I am a member, and I was supposed to be Man of the Year 2020 until COVID hit, you can check out their online store for Christmas gifts, www.emeraldsocietyofillinois.org. And that's for all our pals at the Emerald Society. Thanks to them. Okay, you know, Billy, whenever I'm walking down Western Avenue and I look in the window, Ken's or Wrong's or Hart's or any of those great Irish saloons, and I see the ghost of my old pal Jimmy Goff through the mist, and he says to me, "Hey, holy, who died?" Funnily enough, James W. Sheehan, Tui Sheehan, of El Cajon, California, he went to our Lord October 28th at the age of 86. Born in Chicago, Jim attended St. Ignatius, followed by Western Michigan University, where he was an integral member of the cross-country team. He was a loving husband of Marilyn Wild Sheehan. I think that's her maiden name was Wild. She wasn't. I don't know if she was Wild or not. And father to Beth, Kathy, Michael, Pat, Daniel, and Mary. Jim was a natural-born leader and spent his entire career leading teams at United Airlines and Pacific Southwest Airlines. A devout Catholic and very involved with the church, and he was especially proud of being Irish and was fond of returning to Ireland any chance he got. He was even seen lifting a pint or two in a local bar. Jim was also a gracious host, opening up his home to friends and family, often enjoying the California sunsets with a cocktail in hand, was a nightly ritual in the Sheehan household. God rest his soul, James W. Sheehan Jr. Also, Joan Louise O'Donnell, 84. She was born in Boston when she came to Chicago. She loved her time at Lyons Township High School. She co-chaired many of her class reunions. She also loved to go to the Corral on Friday nights, where she met her husband, Tom O'Donnell. Her infectious laugh made others enjoy life. An enthusiastic patron of Luca's in LaGrange. She loved pizza and Mickey. Mickey must be somebody who worked there. Joan's biggest strength was being the glue that held her tightly knit family together. She's survived by her loving husband of 67 years, Tom O'Donnell. Her three children, Kathy, Mike, and Steve. God rest her soul, Joan Louise O'Donnell, 84. Also, Bill Carey, William Thomas Carey of Northfield, age 90. Bill was a man of powerful words who won the National Extemporaneous Debate Championship while at the University of Notre Dame, which he graduated from magna cum laude in 1951. Bill was a true Renaissance man, a child actor in the golden age of radio on stations WCFL in Chicago and KDKA in Pittsburgh. He was regularly on the air from 1936 to 1947 in many programs, including Tom Mix and Youth Looks at News throughout grade school and high school, while also performing with the Pittsburgh Theater Caravan. He was passionate about Notre Dame football, his beloved White Sox, and his ever-elusive golf short game. Bill loved to tell stories, read voluminously, had a photographic memory, loved all types of music, and wrote a musical once, which was performed with a full cast at Notre Dame. A larger-than-life personality who filled up every... Hey, he was great. Okay, what can I tell you? Bill Carey, God rest his soul. And finally, John Martin Gaughan, Jack. Jack is survived by his wife Helga Gaughan and her children Janet and Edward. Excuse me. I knew that was coming. And their families, as well as his daughter Anne Gaughan and her sons. He joined the Army, became a veteran of the Korean War, a nasty war. And he started working at Pilcher Hamilton Corporation and eventually was able to acquire the company, functioning as its president and chairman of the board, working at the headquarters office up to last year. He was a generous man. I wish I'd run into him. He enjoyed life, traveled worldwide, was a passionate reader. He also enjoyed good wine and food with friends. Jack especially liked the summer weekends he spent at his cottage house in Michigan and his membership at Point of Woods Golf Course. Before his illness, he spent many winters in Jupiter Island, Florida, and enjoyed golfing at the Hobie Sound Golf Club. God rest his soul, Jack Gaughan. Okay, we can close up the clip, Billy. And now, we're going to take a break for some commercials, but you're also going to hear one of my favorite tunes, The Green and Red of Mail by the Saw Doctors. And the interesting thing about this tune, first of all, I've been a Saw Doctors fan for years and years and years. Ollie Jennings, their manager, is an old pal. And I'm working on a documentary film at the moment that the Consulate General of Ireland has given us a very generous grant to continue with the film. And it's about In Search of Weeping Jim. The Weeping Jim was James Ambrose Kearns, the alderman of Chicago, who introduced the legislation that Chicago should have its own flag. And it just happens that he was the grandfather of a very good friend of ours, Dennis Kearns. And Dennis Kearns has been on a journey for the last 9 years to find his grandfather's roots and everything, and that's what the film's all about, and he was from Mayo. And so here it is, The Green and Red of Mayo. I'll be right back after these messages. Thanks. With a history going all the way back to 1896, the International Union of Operating Engineers has continued to protect workers and their families with loyalty and brotherhood. Local 150 has continued to thrive through economic booms and busts, with careful training and aggressive organizing. Under the leadership of President and Business Manager Jim Sweeney, Local 150 has implemented programs and action plans to create work, protect benefits, and keep members working. And they've been helping the Irish-American community of Chicagoland for just as long. The Hibernian Radio Show is proud to be associated with Jim Sweeney and Local 150, and we salute the continuing efforts of the International Union of Operating Engineers and their support of Irish and Irish-American families now and in the future. Thanks to Local 150.
If you or a loved one is injured, you need someone to represent you. But don't just call a lawyer, call a judge. Former supervising judge James McGing. Jim McGing represents injured people and their families in cases involving personal injury, wrongful death, workers' compensation, and third-party lawsuits. Jim represents first responders, and he formerly worked for the General Counsel of the Illinois Fraternal Order of Police. He was an assistant state's attorney, and he was legal counsel to the Cook County Sheriff. As a judge, he presided over multi-million dollar medical negligence, traffic, premises liability, and construction injury cases. He wrote the Illinois court decisions regarding injured police and fire for on-the-job injuries and during training exercises. So don't just call a lawyer. Call a judge. Former Judge Jim McGing of the Miller & McGing Law Firm. 33 years of personal injury and workers' compensation experience. You can get a hold of Jim at 773-467-8000. That's 773-467-8000. Give him a call. He's an old pal.
McCann's Irish Oatmeal. We've been warming the hearts, minds, and souls of the most discriminating oatmeal lovers for over 150 years. From the family farm to your table, enjoy the whole grain goodness of McCann's Irish Oatmeal today. Available at your local grocery store.
When your family has suffered a loss, there's one family I know who will be there for you. Robert J. Sheehy & Sons Funeral Homes are third-generation, family-owned and operated. The Sheehy family has dedicated their lives serving families throughout Chicago and the southwest suburbs. The Robert J. Sheehy & Sons Funeral Home was incorporated in 1913 as a storefront at 76th and Halsted in Chicago. At the time, this was one of the few standalone funeral homes of its kind and was to be the first of many to come bearing the Sheehy name. The founder, Roger Sheehy Sr., was soon joined in business by his three sons, Roger Jr., Jack, and Bob. This trademark of service is evident 98 years later, as Bob and Jim Sheehy, third generation, own and operate two locations in Orland Park and Burbank. At Sheehy's, the name on their sign outside the funeral home means something. For them, it's very important that everyone be treated as if they were family, friend, or neighbor, as they very well could be. When my brother Willie died a few years ago, the Sheehy's took very good care of our family. And you know, you never forget something like that. Their entire staff cares about each and every family they serve. Every detail is handled in a professional and personal manner. On a daily basis, the directors Bill Kiley, Mike LaRocque, and John Sullivan, and the rest of the staff, take great pride in their work, serving families as if they were their own. Bob Sheehy will tell you, we pride ourselves on offering the highest level of professionalism with every family we serve. Robert J. Sheehy & Sons Funeral Homes, here for you since 1913.
Irish American News has been bringing you the news important to the Irish in Chicagoland for over 40 years. If you like mostly good news and information from all aspects of the Irish community, check out Irish American News. To advertise or subscribe, call our friend Cliff Carlson at 847-872-0700 or email him at cliff@irishamericannews.com. Irish American News, we've always been green.
Southsiders have always known where to get the best pizza on earth, Fox's Pizza. For over a half century, the Fox family has been creating that delicious thin crust za that your mouth will tell you, this can only be Fox's. It's a Chicago Beverly institution at 99th and Western, as well as in Orland Park, where they combine delicious food with an Irish pub ambiance. You got the best of both worlds. Still owned by Tom and Frank Fox, whose mom and dad, Frank and Teresa, bought the Western location from Al Capone's sister back in 1964. They opened the doors in Orland at 73 at 143rd and Ravinia Avenue. You'll recognize the stone turrets of their Irish castle, whose great times have been celebrated for generations of Chicagoland Irish. Fox's is perfect for the whole family, pickup or delivery, or you can dine in, relax, and have a cocktail with your dinner, whether it's steak, ribs, chicken, or especially pizza. It's all good. Having a party? Fox's also does catering. Call Fox's in Beverly at 773-239-3212 or in Orland Park at 708-349-2111. They're proud sponsors of Hibernian Radio and all Irish first responders. Mention this show for a free toothpick. Gotta love that Fox's Pizza.
Oh, the green and red mayo, I can see it still. It's soft and craggy boglands, it's tall majestic hills, where the ocean kisses Ireland, the waves caress its shore. Oh, the feeling it came over me, stay forevermore, forevermore.
I can see Kilpatrick's Peak, where one Sunday every summer the pilgrims climbed a reek, where St. Patrick in its solitude looked down across Clubeath, and with the ringing of his bell called the faithful there to pray, there to pray. From the herring to the whale, and now I must depart, and reality is plain. May the time not pass so slowly, for I set sail again, set sail again. See it still, it's soft and craggy boglands, it's tall majestic hills, where the ocean kisses Ireland and the waves caress its shore. Oh, the feeling it came over me to stay forevermore, forevermore, stay forevermore.
How about it? The Sod Actors, The Green and Red of Mayo. Love that tune. I would hope they give us permission to use that in our film. It's so great being here down in the basement with Johnny Sheehan. But we are on the South Side. And when on the South Side, we like to go to a little place I like to call Hooletown.
Deep in the South Side of Chicago.
Get me out of here.
So deep, deep.
All the way up to 93rd Street.
Get me out of here, please.
Across the tracks. Where they only spoke Yakky Dak.
Oh.
And the people barely survived on a strict diet of crunchy bouncer and bamboo.
Hey, man, you want another drink?
Yes.
Can I get you two?
This yeah. is almost 70 years we're talking.
70
when
years?
The what? His teeth,
oh.
Something entered his cranium.
His cranium?
Right. And wormed around his frontal lobes oh. and took him to a state of mind.
Mind.
Hidden place on the other side of bunkers.
Welcome.
A crazy, silly, screwy.
Have a seat.
Known as... Hooletown.
Hooletown.
Welcome to Hooletown. Don't stay too long, though.
How come?
Because you might not come back. Welcome to Hooletown.
Why, thank you.
And you're welcome.
Yes, you are welcome. That was the great Greg Holloman doing that intro to Hooletown, which I love. Now, things are different here in Hooletown, John, in case you've never been here. It's anything goes. Anything goes here in Hooletown, so that's why I can say, Billy, please give me a hand. With this door. Push it. Prince William had rough moments during his low-key coronavirus battle. Lori Loughlin is a wreck while serving time in prison.
Who cares?
Chels
UFC handler goes topless with I voted stickers over her nipples.
Who cares?
Kris Jenner, COVID is not going to stop my kids from partying.
Who cares?
Hey, was Johnny Depp found guilty of beating Amber Heard in court? Britney Spears' disappearance from Instagram has fans fearing the worst.
Who cares?
Kylie Jenner opens up about bullying. None of you know the real me.
Who cares?
Kim Kardashian, does she really have six toes on her left foot?
Who cares?
Jersey Shore's Angelina Pivarnik unveils butt implants on Instagram.
Who cares?
And finally, Chelsea Handler gives birth to a koala bear.
Who cares?
Close it up. Push it. Let me reach up at the top and get that latch. Get it. Yeah. It's great to be back in Hooley Town for some Who Cares. And, you know, the older I get, the less I care because I don't know who any of those people are, most of them. Okay, a little joke while we're here in Hooley Town. Small, tiny joke. After a long illness, a woman died and arrived at the gate of heaven. While she was waiting for St. Peter to greet her, she peeked through the gates. She saw a beautiful banquet table. Sitting all around were her parents, all the other people she had loved and who had died before her. They saw her. Began calling greetings to her. Hey, Susie, hi. When St. Peter came by, the woman said, "This is such a wonderful place. How do I get in?" "You have to spell a word," St. Peter told her. "Which word?" "Love." The woman correctly spelled love, L-O-V-E, and St. Peter welcomed her into heaven. About 6 months later, St. Peter came in to the woman and asked her to watch the gate of heaven for him that day, because he had to go somewhere. While the woman was guarding the gates of heaven, her husband arrived. "I'm surprised to see you," the woman said. "How have you been?" "Oh, I've been doing pretty well since you died. I married that beautiful young nurse who took care of you while you were ill. Then I won the lottery. I sold the little house you and I lived in, and I bought a big mansion. And my wife and I traveled all around the world. We were on vacation. I went water skiing today. I fell. The ski hit me in the head, and here I am. How do I get in?" The wife said, "You have to spell a word." "Well, what word?" the husband asked. "Czechoslovakia." Okay. How are we doing here? Okay. I want to remind everybody next week, hopefully we'll be back at the old Cork and Kerry Irish Pub, 10614 Southwestern Avenue. We're going to have... make a special ceremony for FOP president, for Turtle Honor Police President John Kentenzara. Make him an honorary Irishman. He's been through a lot since he got elected, and
yes,
want to hear all about it. And just having a great time meeting all these police officers over the, well, we've on our 25th week, I think, of police officers, and they've all been great and getting greater every week. So, Johnny, thank you so much for joining us.
It's been a pleasure, Hooley.
Thank you, pal. If you feel like making a donation, go to hibernianradio.org or hibernianmedia.org. Always need some help. And thanks to all you guys and ladies, all the ladies especially, any lady police officers, get in touch. And we will see you later. Bye.
Well, I love.